Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
I just whipped your ass.
You
take it all away.
I'm gonna dog you until I wear your
Texas ass out. The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Couture. What's going on, Couture?
Not too much.
Cool. And I see another number on the switchboard, and it slightly kind of looks familiar, so let me go ahead and take this call. Caller from the 253. Who is this?
I know it's only rock and roll, but I like it.
I think I know where that song's from this time.
Hi, fellas. How you doing?
What's going on, Craig? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Cool. Well, welcome back to the show. We're glad you're back. I hope you didn't get too upset when you saw that. It seems like Matt Clary prefers Shemp over you. But other than that, you know, it's pretty good to have you back.
I'm fine with that, actually. Semper Fi. Or something like that.
Wow.
I don't know.
Cool. Well, how you doing, Craig?
I'm doing all right. As some of you may or may not know, I found out a couple weeks ago my father came down with cancer. So kind of dealing with that, and it's like the weirdest feeling in the world because it's like the cancer's already at stage 4. It's like pretty serious, you know. So basically you're looking at a man who could go at like any time. And so it's really strange. And he's already like lost some weight, and He starts chemo next week, and it's weird. And still trying to wrap my head around the whole thing, but I'm doing better. I just got to stay positive and I guess spend as much time with him as possible, just because. So, I'm doing okay. And then I would have been on the show last week. We tried to arrange everything around. I was busy on Friday night. And I said, hey, let's do it Saturday. Well, Saturday I had to work. And I've already put in 50 hours this week. And they want me to come in tomorrow, too. So I've been busy.
That's a lot of work, man.
Yeah. So it'll probably end up being about a 58-hour work week.
Okay.
I'm beat.
Well, you know, I have like a miniature coming up. You could slide your friend Ed a couple $100 here if you want.
Yeah, that's just what I want to do with all my hard-earned money.
Yeah. And don't forget about all the money you're going to make off of your shirt. And your friend Brian's kind of paid off like he ain't making anything. I know he's making more than he even should.
Let me just put it this way. He's making money, and all he has to do is talk about it.
I believe Ed would expect to get paid to be a moderator. I bet he expected a paycheck or something.
I did not expect to be paid. I just asked if I could be the moderator of the Empire get-together section because there's like some trolling going on the last couple of days. And I guess he doesn't think it's a good idea to make me a moderator, but oh well.
Well, that's probably true. Not a good idea.
No.
It would have been a great idea.
There would be big-breasted women on every page and threads about where to get weed, where to score weed. It would be a nightmare.
Right? I could have a sticky for where to score dope in every city in the United States. That'd be awesome. And Canada, too.
Yeah. And that's why you won't get it.
Sadly. But I guess we still have a lot of ground to cover on our topics. And we're going to prove Brian wrong because we're going to finish. I think we have another week after this one. So we are going to finish. And so I guess we could go ahead and start on our topic. Are we ready to go here?
Yeah, except I don't know where we're going.
WrestleMania 13.
WrestleMania 13. Let me see what I can find. You guys talk amongst yourselves. I was totally unprepared.
I don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to find the email because it's kind of back in my thing here. So.
Well, how about this? What do you think of the build for Mania this year so far?
It's been good until this past Monday, and that kind of sucks.
Rob did not even promote WrestleMania on Leno last night.
He didn't say a word about it? Wow.
No, he didn't say anything. He didn't even say he was back wrestling on time.
Well, that
kind of
sucks.
It's been okay. I mean, I can't. It's been too bad. I think the whole Undertaker CM Punk thing is kind of stupid. But I like Brock and Triple H, stuff like that. So it's okay.
Well, it was stupid this past Monday. It was awesome the week before. The week before, I thought it was fantastic. But this past week, that's when it kind of sucked.
Well, okay, you can only do so much with The Undertaker. He's not going to, I mean, you don't see him in any, like, in any action or any pull-aparts or anything. He just comes out and cuts these promos, and that's about it.
Well, that could have been better. But what's the Roman numeral that I am looking for here?
XIII.
Yeah,
XIII. I got it right here, guys.
I don't know why they got to make it so confusing.
Never mind.
Was this the one at the Rosemont in Illinois at the Horizon?
Yes.
Okay, pipe down. I'll take care of this. This was WrestleMania 13. It was called Heat, in quotation marks. That's when they were kind of naming their WrestleManias because 13 wasn't definitive enough.
It looked like Sunday Night Heat.
This happened March 23rd, 1997, in the Rosemont Horizon in Illinois, In match number one, and I'm pretty sure this was a dark match, Billy Gunn pinned Flash Funk, there's a name from the past.
He called Scorpio when he got fat.
Yeah, unfortunately. Man could move, though. Could move. Why didn't he have Funkadactyls?
He did have
one of the better blank wrestlers of all time, I think. Can you say?
I would say as far as, like, the total package, but he did have some awesome, like, high-flying moves for the time. I mean, his, what is it, his 450 was, I mean, damn, I don't think I'd ever seen anyone do that before him. But I would say he was the best.
450 into a leg drop, too. He was the victim of one of the most brutal things I've ever seen in my life. Shane Douglas power bombing him to death on the floor of the ECW arena. He went splat. Came up and his eyes were crossed. It was brutal. Second match we had, it's basically a four corners match. We had the Headbangers beating the New Blackjacks, the Godwins, and the ill-fated Phil LaFon and Doug Furness. Wish they would have done more with those guys.
This featured the fat Barry Windham as Bradshaw's partner in the Blackjacks.
Blackjack yeah. Windham. Yeah. This is sad to see Barry Windham like that. He used to be so good.
With the dyed black hair and the black
tie. They were a decent team. I think the Blackjack thing was kind of out of date, though.
Yeah, the gimmick was kind of out of date, and at this point, Barry didn't really care anymore.
Yeah.
And the Headbangers, they were okay for like a while. I always thought Mosh was way better than the other one, but when they got split, they just both fucking suffered and sucked. And the Fond and Furnace were awesome. I mean, they had great matches with Davey Boy and Owen, and they were great. They just didn't do nothing with them. And the Godwins were okay.
You get the moves of the Godwins, and it kind of turns your stomach.
Speaking of country
WWF at the time, they were just out of place there.
Yeah, true. Speaking of the Godwins, and this just brought a idea into my head, or a thought into my head, excuse me. If you haven't checked it out yet, go to welovecolt.com and listen to his interview that he just did with Hillbilly Jim. Excellent. You know, after our show.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good stuff. You know, Godwin.
Did he ask him if his grandmother still lets him wrestle the dog on the mattress at the house?
So what?
Nobody saw that video?
I did not see that video.
He's practicing wrestling moves on the dog on a mattress that is out in the shack that they lived in Muslick, on one of those vignettes in the 80s.
I don't remember that.
I kind of wish I did remember that.
It was horrible.
Next up, we had the Intercontinental Champion, Rocky Maivia. He pinned the Sultan.
I have a dollar bill with the name Rocky Maivia on it. If they were more money, it's just a rock, though. But the Sultan was actually Fatu before he became Rakishi, where he was supposed to be some like Middle Eastern fucking, like, I don't want to say terrorist, but whatever. He had like some freaky mask, and he had the pointy boots, and it was pretty bad.
He was a head shrinker, then he was Fatu trying to make a change and get all the kids off the street, and then he was a Sultan, and then he just put on a big diaper and got over like a motherfucker.
Right. And cut his hair blonde.
All he did, he had to do was wear a diaper and dance, and, you know, he was over. It's amazing.
The Sultan wasn't a good gimmick because the one thing that, like, Rikishi had was for being a big guy, he could always move, and, that wasn't the Sultan's character, you know what I mean, or gimmick. He was kind of, you know, he couldn't do the things that made him good.
Although he did have Iron Sheik and Bob Backlund.
That is true.
I saw the Sultan was on one of the military base loops that they'd, I can't remember the promoter, but he would bring wrestling to military bases, and he was in the semi-main event against Crush in a no-holds-barred match. And it was bad. The fifth match of the night was Hunter Hearst Helmsley, and he pinned Goldust. 14 minutes and 28 seconds this thing went, and as I remember, this was pretty good.
Yeah, this is the second best match on the show. This show, if not for that Brett and Steve Austin match, this might have been the worst WrestleMania of all time.
Mm.
In my opinion.
I don't know. It had a few good things in there.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did. I like the six man.
That was okay.
Well,
but it was a useless WrestleMania. It didn't even feel like WrestleMania.
We'll get to that. We had the WWF Tag Team Champions Owen Hart and Davey Boy Smith going to a double countout with Vader and Mankind.
I really don't remember this match. The only thing I really remember is the Stone Cold, the Six Man, the main event, and honestly, that's it.
This was back when Owen and Davey were doing the little breakup. Remember? And I think it was next night they had the match with the Headbangers, and they got in a fight, and then they wrestled for the European title the next week, and that's when Britt came out and they formed the Hart Foundation.
And Owen started crying.
Yeah. Very emotional.
Next up, the show-stealing match. Bret Hart, TKO, Steve Austin, submission match. This went 22 minutes and 5 seconds, and it was a thing of beauty.
It might be.
Yeah.
It might still be the greatest WrestleMania match of all time.
No, I won't say that just because of the finish and stuff like that and the rules. I prefer pinfalls and all that. Yes, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, I thought when you look at this match, I mean, the match is great. I mean, basically, you have the greatest double turn of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended in a way where, you know, the guy that started off as a bad guy lost, but he lost in such a way that it just made him like the biggest hero ever. And then he had like the biggest hero ever being such a dick at the end of the match that it turned him, you know, bad. And I thought it was great. I mean, Austin and Bret had some of the best chemistry ever. I mean, they were perfect together. And I'd have to really think about it, but arguably it's got to be top three for sure of the greatest matches of WrestleMania.
I could think of 10 better.
Wow.
Oh, well, you're stupid.
This is like one of the most memorable ones, though. Come on. I mean,
you think about the attitude there, the two things that everybody remembers, slowly going off the cage, the blood running down off the face.
Yeah.
Katura has bias to this match because there's an MMA shoe fighter on here. That's why.
What? I don't care about that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, Ken Shamrock was a guest referee, everybody.
Rutgers and Twin Towers is better than this.
Ooh. Come on now.
If you say so.
I do say so. When I'm right, I'm right, and I'm always right.
I can't argue with that, actually, because I'm most of the time wrong.
And for everybody out there that's stupid, yes, I'm doing a little bit here, so just bear with me.
Okay, the next match, we had LOD and Ahmed Johnson. They beat Farouk and the aforementioned Crush and Savio Vega in a Chicago street fight when Animal pinned Crush.
This is like when Crush like totally changed his look. Like, he was no more like he lost like a lot of muscle.
He'd been in prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can't get the juice in prison. And he didn't even look anything like when he came back. And I actually liked the Nation of Domination. I loved the whole... Well, actually, what I loved was PG-13 singing the fucking song through the ring. They were fucking awesome.
The Nation of Domination.
The Nation of Domination.
They remind me of the Dungeon of Doom or some shit like that.
But this is
became the ruler of the nation, then it was good. And they invited the white guy in, Owen Hart.
The Legion of Doom, this is way into their downfall, where they weren't anywhere near what they used to be, but they were still the Legion of Doom. And then you have the drugged up Ahmed Johnson, who was always looked like he was about ready to kill somebody or on like a verge of a cocaine overdose. And, he was one jacked up motherfucker. He might be one of the biggest black wrestlers I've ever seen, as far as up until, I wouldn't even say he's bigger than Big E.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you saw him in WCW. He was fat.
Yeah, that is.
And he got the letter T back from Booker. Beat him in that match.
Yeah, at this point, Ahmed Johnson was so far on the gas, it looked like you could have hit him, you could have poked him with a pen, and he would have popped. He was
Ahmed was too injury prone, and he injured too many other people. That's what hurt him. He came in with a pretty good push when he first came in. So.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was just saying, he had a good look. I mean, he was very impressive looking.
And the only thing I can actually remember about Ahmed, I mean, he had his run, but the thing that sticks out in my mind is him giving the Tiger Driver to D'Lo Brown,
on the roof of the car.
Yeah.
That was like the from first Shotgun Saturday Night, I think.
Yeah, it was the first Shotgun Saturday Night.
I also remember at like the Royal Rumble that was here in San Antonio, where like Sean beat us in. He gave, I don't know if it was D'Lo or just one of the other extras in the suits, a power bomb through like the French announce table. Because you remember they used to have a French announce table too?
Was one of the Rougeaus there?
Yeah, it was one of the Rougeaus. And we were like second row, but right there, like where the table was. So it was like, it was awesome, you know, being that close to like a fucking table bump like that.
In our main event, and this sounds just as bad as it does on paper, The Undertaker pinned Psycho Sid in 21 minutes and 19 seconds to win the WWF World title.
That had to be a rib on Sid or something in 20 minutes.
The only thing cool about this was Undertaker came back out in the gray gloves that he used to have when he first started. I thought that was pretty cool. Throwback, kind of. I wouldn't mind seeing him do that this year. Maybe come back with the old outfit or something.
Hmm. Going to be a biker MMA fighter. Combine the two.
This match, I don't know, it was a match. It was no good. I think the most interesting thing was, like, I think Bret Hart interfered or he came out at the start or something. That was about it for this match. The most interesting thing in this match, and Undertaker won the title. He beat.
There you go. Which leads us to WrestleMania 14. This one was titled X-Rated.
DX-Rated.
This says X-Rated, so.
Well,
it's
DX-Rated, though. They're wrong.
You're the one that said this, Katrina, you know.
I didn't make the list up. I did not sit here and type out all this shit. I copied and pasted it. Don't blame me.
You can add it to D on your own.
God, I missed you guys. March 29th, 1998, in Boston, Massachusetts, at the Fleet Center, drew just shy of 20,000 fans. First match was the Legion of Doom 2000, and they won a tag team battle royal that lasted 8 minutes. I will now name off the other teams, and here's some blasts from the past. Savio Vega and Miguel Perez.
The hairiest man who ever lived.
True. Well,
not more than Dutch Mantel.
It's pretty close.
Recon and Sniper.
The Truth Commission.
Chains and Bradshaw.
DOA.
D'Lo Brown and Mark Henry.
Wait.
Oh, that was Brian Lee. That was Brian Lee and Bradshaw. I'm sorry.
What's that?
I said that was Brian Lee. Chains was Brian Lee. I was thinking about the other two guys.
Oh, you're totally forgiven.
Okay, go ahead, Greg.
I had my phone upside down. The Quebecers, the Rock and Roll Express.
Dear Lord.
Yeah. Jesus Castillo and Jose Estrada.
Jose.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can't say Jose Aldo. I used to correct Brian all the time. It's Jose. And then I just did it here to myself. The Headbangers. Scott Taylor and Brian Christopher.
Now, what was their gimmick at this point? They weren't too cool. Were they the gay team? Remember when they were gay?
No, they were just two guys they threw together because they needed another team in the Battle Royal. They took this old Brian Christopher and the babyface, whatever his name is, and threw him together. Scotty Too Hotty.
What was the team? What was the name of the team before they became Too Cool?
Too Much? Too Hot? I don't know. Too Cold? Or, I don't know.
I think it was Too Much or something. Yeah. But they were gay, and then they became hip-hop guys.
Ah, gay hip hop artists. There's, man, you can throw a rock and
I got over Free Will with the
two thing. Steve Blackman and Flash Funk.
I don't get
those guys.
Together. Yeah. The Godwins.
Of course.
Skull and 8-Ball.
The racist Harris twins.
Mm-hmm. Cover up those SS's on your forearms, fellas. Farouk and Kama. And last but not least, Bob Holly and Bart. I got knocked out by Butterbean Gun.
Weren't they like the new like Midnight Express or something?
Bombastic Bart and Bodacious Bob are the names.
That's right.
By Jeff Cornette. It was when they brought the NWA back. You remember when they did that?
Yeah, they had like Barry and Jeff Jarrett too, right?
Yeah.
Second match of the night, we had the now defunct WWF Lightweight Championship defended by Taka Michinoku, pinned Aguila. Only with 5 minutes.
Yeah. This is basically a little match. These guys were good.
Real good.
Yeah, it was a good little match. I mean, they only got 5 minutes, but they made the most of it. I mean, I would have loved for it to be a lot longer.
When are they going to push the cruiserweights again? Sorry, I'm gonna say.
Yeah, they don't have any.
Push the cruiserweights, man.
Yeah, you see how Sin Cara got over.
Well, that's because he sucked.
And no, he doesn't suck. He's just used completely wrong. Completely wrong.
You didn't think they were gonna try and start up the light division again when they brought in Bo Dallas for a week?
Oh, jeez. That guy. Don't get me started. Anyway, match number 3 was the European champion, another title that's no longer. Hunter Hearst Helmsley pinned Owen Hart. I remember this being pretty darn good.
Yeah, this is a good match.
This is pretty good. I thought Owen should have won it, though.
Mark Mero and Sable beat Goldust and Luna when Sable
break match.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, this was a hell of a match.
Yeah.
This was like a really good match, I thought.
Like when Goldust was doing like the
bondage,
right? Yeah, okay.
With Luna. And this was, I think, Sable's first match, and she's pretty damn good, I mean, considering.
Mm.
You know, but
and easy
had
on
a lot
the
of heat. This match, you had Sable and you had Luna, you know. Yeah, this is good stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
She won with a Frankensteiner off the top or something like that. I don't remember.
I remember doing something big like that, and everybody in the room was shocked.
Well, everything she did, I mean, she didn't do like a whole lot, but everything she did pretty good. Like when she power bombed Mero, I mean, she always did a decent job. She was good.
Yeah. Dude, she could stand in the middle of the ring and just breathe, and I would be transfixed on her. So
she lets Brock Lesnar get on top of her.
I love that one promo, the one promo where I'm like, what do you say? Like, it's in the song.
Yeah, I'm like, don't get on top of my wife tonight after duty being
yeah.
I can't remember who they
No, he said, I might even. I might even.
Yeah.
This is not a question for me.
That's when we bitched out, like, Bud Light or Coors or something because they didn't want to pay him or something like that.
Yeah, he wouldn't have seen that note. That was awesome.
Anyway.
Speaking of which, I might have to watch The Ultimate Fighter this year with girls and guys in the house. It's kind of intriguing to me.
There's always a lot of alcohol in that house for these fighters to get drunk and act stupid. There's going to be 3 times as much beer and alcohol in this house. They're going to be doing every trick they can. They're going to be serving them oysters on the half shell every night, just hoping that they'll start fucking.
Okay. This is taking a turn. All right. We had the Intercontinental Champion, Rocky Maivia, beat Ken Shamrock.
This actually, this kind of disappointed me because they didn't give him a lot of time because these guys were actually working a lot on, I saw like a house show of them working, and they actually were pretty good, but this one went by pretty quick.
This was actually, Shamrock won the match and the title. He put him in the, he put Rocky in the ankle lock, and Rocky gave up. And then I think maybe Shamrock got hit with a chair or went crazy or something, and then he went back and attacked The Rock again, so they reversed the decision. So gave the title back to The Rock.
Yeah, that's right. And I think The Rock was, like, bleeding, too, from, like, the mouth or something.
And they were taking Rock out on the stretcher, and then Shamrock knocked the stretcher over and, like, beat up Rocky on the back where they had the DX band. And speaking of which, that National Anthem
is
one of the worst I've ever heard in my life.
The worst rip-off of Rage Against the Machine I've ever heard.
God, that was horrible. Good, hey, good when you're in the studio and you can put out a good version of that DX song, but live doing National Anthem, fuck no.
Next up, we had Terry Funk and Cactus Jack. They beat Billy Gunn and Jesse James 10 minutes in a dumpster match to win the WWF tag titles. However, the belts were held up due to a technicality.
The wrong dumpster. The dumpster rule. They used the wrong, dumped them in the wrong dumpster. I do think this is the best match on the show. I like this match best.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. These, they had some, they always had good matches with Billy Gunn and Jesse James. I mean, yeah, it was fucking awesome.
Billy Gunn gave Terry Funk this powerbomb into the dumpster. That's the way he killed him.
Probably.
And he had this big ass bruise on. Do you remember that bruise he had on his back?
Yeah, it's,
yeah,
like, it's, I mean, like his whole kidney was like bruised.
Yeah, I mean, God.
And they really showed off the next man on Raw.
Yeah, yeah, they held the titles up because it was the wrong dumpster. So, So they had a rematch in a cage the next night, and that's where the, you know, they came together as DX. That's when Nick Spock came back. So,
right. And this whole thing was set up because Billy Gunn and Road Dogg pushed Terry Funk and Cactus Jack off the stage in a dumpster.
And everybody freaked out, and Sunny was crying. And
that was awful.
And as I remember, Cactus Jack was back later on in the show, IV in hand.
No,
yeah,
I was Terry Funk had the IV.
Terry Funk was in his tidy whities.
That's
why they didn't give him a skid mark or something. Like that kind of stuff.
I think he did. I think he just did not remember it.
Remember when Pat Patterson did that to Rikishi when he gave him the stink face?
Oh, yeah. That's,
and he pulled his pants down, his drawers had a skid mark. They're like, what the fuck is this?
Dude, he's got a loose asshole. He can't help it.
Well, yeah, that's true. He's an anal retread or something, I guess. Maybe he's got that.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
The Undertaker.
Craig's like, why did I come back to the show?
Yeah. Come on, guys. We're going to the gutter. The Undertaker pinned Kane in 16:58. Almost 17 minutes this match went. But the highlight of the match was actually the pre-festivities as Kane pile-drove Pete Rose.
Yeah, he cut awesome. Like the greatest promo ever.
Yeah.
Kane turned into a babyface in this match.
I know he particularly did. What I just remember, like, what did he say? I left tickets, but Bill Buckner could have been over to pick them up. Oh, man. He was getting some heat, dude. He was getting some serious fucking heat.
Pete Rose is still one of the – he's like, I put him up there with, like, Bobby Uecker is one of the better celebrities in WrestleMania history.
And a reoccurring one at that.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, as we'll get to this match, the big spot I remember in this match, Taker did a suicide dive and he went over the top rope and like just went through one of the mouse tables or something.
This match wasn't that bad. I mean, was better than some of the previous Undertaker matches. These two guys always had good chemistry together.
This is back when Kane was taller.
Yeah. when he had the business.
Mm-hmm. Back when the character was cooler.
True. And in our main event, Steve Austin pinned Shawn Michaels to win the WWF World Title. Mike Tyson was a special guest referee. Shawn Michaels injured himself before this match, and if you pay attention and you watch it, Shawn Michaels is absolutely destroying himself to get through the main event. And at one point, going up to the top rope, actually looked over at Ross, and I can't remember exactly what he said, but he was the man in this match to go through with it.
He took one of those bumps. It was kind of like the Flair bump, except he like just went real fast and like just did the flip in the corner where he hit his back right on the turnbuckles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you weren't hurt before, you sure are now.
Yeah. Yeah, real gutsy performance on that match.
Yeah, it was a good match. Like I say, you could see, just look at his face and you could tell. And this is also a match where, like, the urban legend has it that the Undertaker picked up his fist and he basically told Shawn, you better lose the title or else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right. I remember on the Shawn Michaels DVD, he said they had the little public WrestleMania thing or something. Somebody threw a battery and hit Shawn in the head, and so he just walked out.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have walked out, too. I saw that battery. I mean, it looked like it fucking hurt.
And then after the match, Shawn starts, giving Tyson shit, and Tyson finally throws a big punch and knocks him out. He took an awful bump for it, too.
Yeah. WrestleMania.
Cold Stone won the match.
Cold Stone, yes. He makes great ice cream now.
This was the WrestleMania with the disgraced celebrities. You had Pete Rose, you had Mike Tyson, you had, Jennifer Flowers. Who was that? Did she give Bill Clinton a blowjob or something?
No, I think it was the girl that was a secretary for one of the preachers that got in trouble.
Maybe Falwell or somebody like that, or
yeah, somebody like that. I can't remember exactly, but that sounds right.
Yeah, I just remember she was interviewing The Rock and said, "The Rock is a judge, jury, and executioner. If you tell him the jury is going to be a hung jury, so
yeah, yeah." Speaking of WrestleMania 15, the raging climax, March 28th, 1999. In Philadelphia, PA, at the first Union Center, drew 18,274. First matchup, Jacqueline and Ivory.
Who I just saw in the Glow documentary.
I watched that the other night. It was okay.
It's awesome, dude. It's fucking awesome.
No, it's just okay.
It's camping just like the show was. You know what I mean? Because they kind of did it like VH1,
mm-hmm.
What was that show, Craig? Behind the Music. Yeah, it's kind of like Behind the Music of Glow, and they talk to a lot of the girls, and they got like a lot of footage. It's pretty cool. I like it. I'm enjoying it. I had to stop halfway.
I didn't find anything they talked about to be remotely interesting. The end was the best part when they got together and they had to. Bring in Mount Fiji from the rest home and Wheeler in there. That was pretty cool.
Oh, well, thanks for ruining it for me, but my favorite back in the day, some of them are still hot. They're just older, but my favorite one back
some
in the day was Minushka. Minushka was so hot, the Russian.
Some aged well and some aged horribly. I'll say that.
Yeah. I was a big fan of Hollywood and Vine, the tag team.
No, Hollywood comes out, and Hollywood still looks good. He got some nice big fake ones and some. I mean, he looks good. Hollywood,
right.
Little Egypt. A bunch of them still look good, actually. Some of them not so good, but anyway.
Yeah, I gotcha. Next up, we had another Battle Royal. Why they keep putting Battle Royals on the biggest show of the year, I'm not real sure.
And what were D'Lo Brown and Tess teaming up for?
Yeah, you got me.
Because they did
something with Battle Royale with like the last two guys that are in it. Don't they like team up?
I'm not 100% sure.
They did a Battle Royale, and the last two guys remaining teamed up to go against the tag champs on the pay per view. Take them on the circuit. Because I think that was on Sunday Night Heat.
I see. All right. Well, anyway, some of the names in this one: Steve Blackman, Justin Bradshaw, Brian Christopher, DOA, Draws, Farouk Gilbert, His Godfather, Jeff and Matt Hardy, the LOD, Midian, Public Enemy, Tiger Ali Singh, Scott Taylor, and Viscera.
Now, when we say Matt and Jeff Hardy, we're talking about, that's the Hardy Boy that you know. We're talking about the Paisley Hardy Boys, the jobbers.
Yep.
Yeah. And Goldberg, oh my God, greatest character ever in pro wrestling.
Gilbert. Yes.
Gilbert.
Tiger Ali Singh, was this before somebody shit in his turban?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if you guys can hear the Facebook notifications, but the last one that went off was from Matt Clary just telling me that he can hear Facebook notifications, so.
Turn off your Facebook.
Anyway.
Next up, we had Bob Holly beating Al Snow and Billy Gunn in a hardcore triangle match, and Bob Holly won the hardcore title. If I was the hardcore champion and Bob Holly was across the ring from me, I would just walk over and hand him the belt and walk out.
They brought him back for the TNA hardcore pay-per-view of the 500 of them that they taped this past
mm-hmm.
weekend. He was in the hardcore pay-per-view.
They should get rid of Kennedy and hire Bob for that part.
Sure. Yeah. Well, they could just get rid of Kennedy just for general principle. But I like Bob Holly. A lot of people don't because he's an asshole, but I thought he was pretty decent in the ring.
He's good wrestler.
One match where he slid his back open.
Mm-hmm. Bad. It was against Brock, wasn't it?
RVD.
Or him. That's too totally.
No, Brock's the one that broke his neck when he tried to sandbag him.
That's right. That's right.
Why would you try to sandbag? I mean, I know he has a reputation of being a dick, but why in the world would you try and sandbag Brock Lesnar? That's stupid.
He's just a miserable asshole.
Yeah.
Isn't Foley one of his best friends, and he talks about how miserable a person he is?
I think you're thinking of Al Snow, but yeah. I just love Brock, his answer to Holly sandbagging him. I'll just drop you on your head. And he did.
And I guess you were right about D'Lo Brown and Tess.
Yeah,
I was.
Yeah. Next up, we had the WWF Tag Champions Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett, and they beat D'Lo Brown and Test when Jarrett pinned Brown.
They were a good team, I thought, Owen and Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, they were a good team, and I love. And the best part about their team was in the big pay-per-views, Deborah would dress up like a Vegas showgirl.
Yeah, I got to meet those two and Deborah. I want to say they were at like a Pet Boys or something like that in the area before one of the house shows. Seventh match on the show, we had Butterbean knocking out Bart Gunn in 35 seconds, first round. This was the finals of the Brawl for All matches.
Well, it wasn't the finals. Bart Gunn had won the Brawl for All tournament. This was like, you know, just a fight.
And it didn't last long for a fight. He got knocked the fuck out.
He sure did. He was back at it, you know. God.
I just remember seeing like an interview with, well, not seeing an interview, but hearing like an interview with the Godfather, and he said that he was hanging out with Butterbean before, and Butterbean's like he's okay. This is exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to do this. He's going to do this, and I'm going to knock him out. And basically, that's what he did. You know,
and he was banished to Japan for the rest of his career.
And became Johnny Ace's partner.
This was also, I think, the last public appearance of Gorilla Monsoon before he died. He was one of the judges. And I think he actually got one of the biggest pops of that whole night when they introduced him.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. Go ahead, Craig. Hello, Greg.
Greg?
Let me check this. Oh, he's Craig, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What happened?
Something went quacky with my phone, and I'm back. Let's move on.
That's very unprofessional.
Well, thanks for looking at the switchboard while I was yelling into the phone while you weren't answering. Mankind beat Paul White by a DQ, 6 minutes, 50 seconds.
And the winner got to be the guest referee for the main event. So, but then Paul White destroyed Mankind. I think he had to go to the hospital, but he returned later.
Was this a match where Mankind was on his back in a sleeper hold and Paul White decided to take a flat back bump with Mankind on his back?
Yeah,
that sucked.
It sucked for Mankind. It was pretty fun watching.
Okay, I'll give you that. But, yeah, that looked brutal. The WWF Intercontinental Championship match, the Road Dogg beat Goldust, Ken Shamrock, and Val Venus in a four corners match. Shamrock and Val Venus were both counted out, and then the Road Dogg pinned Goldust.
This one, Val was banging Ryan Shamrock, Ken's on-screen sister, even though in real life Ken Shamrock was banging his on-screen sister. It's weird.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
He's still pretty hot, too. I've seen pictures of him.
We had Kane beating Hunter Hearst Helmsley, 11 minutes, 33 seconds, via DQ. Before the match, Kane pile drove Pete Rose.
Now, how did Peter stack him on this one? Because there was a chicken one, and wasn't there one more?
The chicken one, I think, was the next year.
Okay.
Maybe this was the chicken one, and I think they did a swerve with the chicken in the next year where they thought it was Pete Rose, but it wasn't.
That's right. That was the best part of the match.
Again, two years in a row, and but it wasn't it was like a swerve, so he could come and attack him with a baseball bat or something and still get dropped on his head. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was when China was with the corporation, and then she turned on Kane and got back together with Triple H in this, which led to something later on. So.
Okay, who besides me has clicked on the link with the China porn wrestling porn parody?
You're probably the only one. I know I haven't.
Well, you know what? Both of you need to click on. You don't have to watch the whole porn. You got to watch the first 3 minutes. The first 3 minutes are incredible. Because
I want my IP address. Anybody know my IP address has been at that site. Thank you.
It's China with like a fake Vince McMahon and a fake Stephanie, and China cuts like the greatest promo on them before all the fucking starts. But
she quit porn today. Apparently. She's moving to Japan to teach English to the Japs.
Hey.
But I recommend the first 3 minutes of the latest China porn.
I mean, that's
mean team running, the mean team running during the blow bang is pretty awesome, too.
Oh, God. WWF Women's Champion Sable pinned Tori in 5 minutes and 6 seconds.
Tori was out was pretty good, and she was pretty hot, too. She just was kind of, like, quiet, you know. She never, like, really got, like, a super, super push or anything, but she, I always liked Tori.
She was attractive, but, like, low on the totem pole of WWE girl attractive, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, she was kind of different. I think that's, like, you know, she was, like,
she
a little bigger.
Like, the chick on Seinfeld.
Well, she used to be Terry Power, and she wrestled for, like,
LPWA,
and she also wrestled in Japan, and she was on the, she was on both the, what were those big shows? The Dream Slam. She was on the Dream Slam, but she had, like, a fucking hurt arm or shoulder, and she could only basically use one arm, so she was, like, she looked horrible in them.
I'll have to go back and watch that. It doesn't make doesn't sound familiar to me.
I remember Sable was on Howard Stern like a few weeks before this, before WrestleMania, and she asked Howard if he wanted to accompany her to the ring at WrestleMania, and Howard just, you know, a little sarcastic, you know, and said, no, thank you. You know, I don't want to hold with the ref on bullshit.
We have the WWF European Champion Shane McMahon. He pinned X-Pac in 8 minutes 41 seconds.
This was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
He had good matches back then. He had good matches, and then he had the Mean Street Posse with him, which was awesome.
Remember they had didn't they have their own couch at ringside or something?
Yeah.
And I know X-Pac got dumped in ringside, and like one of the biggest pops of the night was when he nailed them. Mean Street Posse when he Pete Gass and Rodney.
Well, I think it was more when he had Rodney because everybody loved Pete Gass.
Yeah.
Nobody knew who Pete Gass was at this point.
Well, later on, I went to a couple of hot shows that they were on or whatever, but it would always be amazing. They'd come out and everybody loved Pete Gass, but everybody booed the shit out of Rodney. It was so weird.
This was when Triple H turned on X-Pac and joined the corporation. So even though China had turned on Kane to get back together with Triple H, they were both going back heel just a few matches later. So that was kind of out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting that, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, the Undertaker pinning the Big Boss Man, 9 minutes 46 seconds in the worst Hell in a Cell match I've ever seen.
Wasn't
the Boss Man and Al Snow be the worst one? Wasn't that a Hell in a Cell?
That wasn't a Hell in a Cell match, though. That was a Kennel from Hell match.
Yeah, technically.
But it was still the same thing. I mean, it was the same
thing. No, it's
not. It?
The Kennel from Hell match is different than Hell in a Cell, or else it had the same name.
That's true.
Okay.
And in the main event, we had Steve Austin pinning The Rock.
Wait, the Undertaker hung him at the end of the match. When the bruiser fell from the ceiling, you know, and brought the noose down. That was weird.
Yeah.
Cool. Sorry. The main event, Steve Austin pinned The Rock. 16 minutes, 52 seconds, he won the WWF World title.
Yeah, this was a good match.
Yeah. And
he kind of returned and then counted the pin, so.
Boys to Men were the vocalists of this evening. Pretty sure they did the America's Beautiful or whatever, beginning of the show.
No, they did So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday. I'm pretty sure they did America's Beautiful.
Before we go to the next WrestleMania, let me interrupt the show because I have to send a special birthday shout out to one of our biggest listeners, the Sandman.
Yeah.
And so happy birthday, Sandman. And for your birthday, I hope that Big Daddy never gets into the Hall of Fame because he sucks.
Jerk. My goodness.
That's a nice.
That's a true statement.
Happy birthday, Sandman. Thank you for all your support. Appreciate it. sending you a new T-shirt very soon. WrestleMania 2000, April 2nd, in Anaheim, California. Anaheim Pond drew just over 18,000. He had the Big Boss Man and Bull Buchanan beating D'Lo Brown and The Godfather, who was with Ice-T, by the way. Ice-T, not the drink, the rapper. Buchanan pinned Brown.
What a match to start off with at the WrestleMania.
Yeah, Bull Buchanan was... He tried really hard.
I remember Ice-T went doing the Godfather's theme, and he said, grab your bitches.
That's right.
Remember the crowd. I remember that they didn't have that. I didn't think the crowd was very good on this WrestleMania.
I just remember Michael Clark Duncan was right there in the front row going crazy and shit.
Hey, speaking of Ice-T, Ed, are you a fan of Ice-T's wife, Coco?
Yes.
Okay.
She looks very attractive.
Yeah, when I see her, I just think, Ed Laredo, weird. Anyway.
She looks like a walking miss, basically.
She's just got Ed's type written all over her. You know, kind of hoary and, you know, big boobs. Anyway, next match. Hardcore Holly was the winner of a Hardcore Battle Royal. Basically, it was a Battle Royal where you pinned guys, went 15 minutes, and I'll just...
Wait, didn't they, when you pin somebody, you won the title, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's right.
Every time you pin somebody, you won the championship.
That's right. So here's the way it went down.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's the way it went down. We had Taz pinning Crash in 26 seconds of the match. Viscera pinned Taz at the 1 minute mark. Funaki pinned Viscera at the 7:51 mark.
And with
the aforementioned Rodney pinned Funaki 8 minutes 11 seconds.
We're not talking about that jerk, Rodney. We're talking about the guy from the Mystery Pop.
Abs pinned Rodney 8 minutes 24 seconds. A scant 22 seconds later, Thrash pinned Abs, and then Gas pinned Thrasher. And after that, Taz came back and pinned Gas at the 10:17 mark. And then Crash pinned Taz at 14:20. And to wrap the whole thing up, Hardcore Holly pinned Crash at 14 minutes and 58 seconds. So he was the final winner of the Hardcore Battle Royal.
That's kind of a good move to do that to your cousin.
They screwed up the finish. I don't think Hardcore was supposed to win. That's why he had to lose the title back the next night.
I see. So Crash was supposed to go in as champion and walk out.
I guess so. This Hardcore title, I think the only other championship that's had more title changes in like so little time would be like the fucking Southern title in Memphis or something, change hands like 5 times a week or something like that. That Jerry Lawler held like 254 times.
But I will say that, I mean, at the end, the Hardcore title didn't really mean anything, but when Crash was a champion and they were going through fucking Chuck E. Cheese and amusement parks and all kinds of shit, it was so awesome.
24/7. Right. Tag title, the Hardcore title was defended 24/7, even at Chuck E. Cheese. Next up, we had Test and Prince Albert.
TNA. Yeah, that's true.
Yes. They beat Al Snow and Steve Blackman when Test.
That's one of the greatest names for a tag team ever, Ed Cheese.
Mm-hmm. I thought you had a
tag match on this show.
I thought you were having a random Tourette's moment there, but then it clicked in my head what you're talking about. And Edge and Christian beating Matt and Jeff Hardy and the Dudley Boys in a ladder match to win the WWF tag titles. This was pretty darn awesome.
The end of it was great because Madden went through that table. It looked like somebody planted some C4 on it and just fucking splintered. Jesus.
Yeah.
This was an awesome match, yeah.
Well, you couldn't have a bad match with any of these three teams in any combination. I mean, they were just awesome. This was like the last big win for the tag team championships, basically, almost.
Back when Bubba Ray could probably still call people a fag and I could have to apologize for it.
Sure. Next up, we had Terry. She beat the Cat in a quote-unquote cat fight. Val Venus was the special guest referee. The Fabulous Moolah accompanied Terry, and Mae Young accompanied the Cat.
Oh, I remember this. This was when I remember Moolah was pushing Mae around in the wheelchair because she had a miscarriage, and then she left her high and dry, and then Bubba Ray came in and powerbombed her off the stage. So that's how this feud started, I think, because Moolah let her get in the hand of Bubba Ray.
And after he gave her the powerbomb off the stage through the table, he got forearmed in the chest very hard because he protected her too much. And did you remember when she came out the other week doing like the kind of like this little skit doing her like 90th birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did y'all see what they showed on the WWE.com of her and Vince and Hunter?
Yeah, I saw that.
Where she's all, remember you promised me if I'm 100 years old I can wrestle for the title. And I bet she really, really wants to. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if that's when she dies, is the day after or shortly after she wrestles on her 100th birthday.
That's sad. I accidentally closed my email. I apologize. Bear with me.
Beat Eddie Guerrero, Perry Saturn, Dean Malenko in 9 minutes and 38 seconds when China pinned Guerrero.
What a travesty. That's when Eddie started being awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody knows two mamacitas are better than one. Right?
Sure.
That's what he said.
Three are even better than that.
Four.
Kurt Angle lost both the WWF European title and the Intercontinental title in a 2 out of 3 falls match with...
A two fall. Not 2 out of 3.
Two fall. Two fall triangle match. Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho. Benoit pinned Jericho in just under 8 minutes to win the IC title, and Jericho pinned Benoit to win the European title in 13:35.
This is when Kurt Angle was the Eurocontinental champion, what he called it.
Eurocontinental.
You know, I really don't remember the match too much, but just the thought of seeing how it worked is just awesome because it's just a big, like, kind of a dick move to Kurt Angle, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it was a way to get the titles off of him and not have him lose.
Yeah.
True. Next up, we had Kane and Rikishi. They beat the Road Dogg and X-Pac when Kane pinned X-Pac. You're never going to guess, but after the match, Pete Rose was chokeslammed by Kane, and then he was given a stink face by Rikishi.
I don't know which one I'd rather take.
Pete came out and he thought it was Pete Rose again, but Pete Rose swerved him and came out like from the crowd with a bat or something. Didn't work out well for him.
Yeah. Our main event was the WWF champ Triple H with his honey, Stephanie McMahon, by his side. He beat The Rock, who had Vince McMahon by his side, Mick Foley, who had Linda with him, and The Big Show with Shane with him in a Four Corners match.
Hadn't Foley already retired before this match?
No.
Yeah, he lost the Hell in a Cell match, but I mean, he came back and did this match.
Whoever's phone that is, that's my gimmick.
People were like irate about it because he's supposed to lose his retirement match. I just laugh at people like that.
Yeah, The Rock pinned Big Show first, 4 minutes and 41 seconds in. Triple H pinned Foley, 19:41, and then Triple H pinned The Rock, 36 minutes, 28 seconds. So remember, this wasn't a blowaway match by any means.
It was okay. I mean,
for a
man to come out of WrestleMania with the title. You know that?
Moving along. Yeah, I got
that. Nobody knows that? Nobody cares. Okay.
I didn't hear what you said.
I said Triple H was the first heel to come out of WrestleMania with the title in the main event.
Oh. First of many, I think. All Triple H.
Miz and Triple H are the only two.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. WrestleMania X7, for all of you at home and our dyslexic friends with they can't read Roman numerals, that is 17. April 1st, 2001, Houston, Texas, Astrodome, 67,000, just a little bit shy of 68,000 in attendance. Just incredible. And X-Pac beat Steve Blackman and Grandmaster Sexay when X-Pac pinned Blackman.
This was on Sunday Night Heat.
We then had WWF Intercontinental Champion Chris Jericho. He pinned William Regal. 7 minutes, 8 seconds.
This one where he pinned in his teapot? Or was that somebody else?
Wasn't it like the Queens of Canterbury Rules or some bullshit?
No, that was the next month.
Okay.
We had Bradshaw, Farouk, and Taz. They beat the RTC. Bo Buchanan, Godfather, and Val Venus. That was the
Good Father.
That's right, the Good Father. This was the faction that, what was it? It was
Ethan Richards.
Yeah, the right to
censor. And they're supposed to be right like a knock at the Parents Television Council. Does it get them some shit?
Stevie Richards was like the main guy.
I remember Val Venus was dressed up like the Ice Cream Man for some reason in his suit.
And they had a button down ivory as well, if I remember.
Yeah, she looked like a little Stern and Crane.
Yeah. Yeah. Kane beat Raven and the Big Show in a three-way, 9 minutes, 18 seconds to win the WWF Hardcore title when he pinned the Big Show. No Pete Rose on the show.
I remember Kane, I think, getting in a golf cart and running somebody over. Raven going through a window.
Oof. Good old Raven. Eddie Guerrero pinned Test at 8 minutes and 30 seconds to win the WWF European title.
I remember this because Test got his foot caught in the rope and Eddie Guerrero had to desperately help him get out. Kind of had to break character and get pulled out of the ropes.
Well, you can't pin a man in the ropes, for crying out loud.
That's right.
Yeah. Next up, we had Kurt Angle, and he pinned Chris Benoit.
Hey, I just know how was at this show.
You just realized that? You were at this show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit had one of the best fucking matches ever, and they were doing all the amateur wrestling shit that looked fucking awesome. It was fucking great.
Yeah. What time is it over there? About 4:20?
It's been stuck
on
the for a while.
Monday before, Kurt Angle came out and said, there's the biggest news in wrestling right now. This was when WCW had just been bought by WWF. The biggest news going on right now. The gobbledygooker has a match at WrestleMania, and I don't. That's how they set up Kurt Angle against Chris Benoit.
Next up, we had China pinning Ivory in 2 minutes and 39 seconds to win the WWF women's title.
Believe it or not, you know how I always love the Diva matches. I actually went and bought a Chris Jericho shirt during this match.
Wow. I would say that's progress, but come on now. In a street fight, Shane McMahon pinned Vince McMahon in 14 minutes and 12 seconds with Mick Foley as the special referee.
This is actually pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah, this was good. He stole the band Terminator.
Yeah, that's right.
And did it. I just remember, you know, they showed all the WC. They had this little thing. They had the WCW guys up in one of the press boxes. Had WCW wrestlers. It just looked like so sarcastic. WCW wrestlers. Where they identify everybody else as superstars and stuff like that. It's kind of funny.
And Edge and Christian.
I remember this was when Linda was in the catatonic state and being pushed around by Trish Stratus in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
It was so absurd, but one of the biggest pops was when she came out of that chair in that ring at the end of this match. They knew it was going to happen. It was still great, so.
It was awesome. I mean, all the family stuff and Trish and all that was just awesome. The McMahons are just awesome. They're just made for TV, for entertainment.
Yep.
Edge and Christian beat Bubba Ray and D-Von and Matt and Jeff Hardy in a TLC match to win the WWF tag titles. Once again,
it was better with commentary than watching it live. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was awesome. It was an awesome match, but when you're watching it live, you could really see there was a lot of setups. I'm setting up the tables. There's like a lot of pauses in the action that really stood out when you didn't hear it without the commentary. So it seems like it seems a little slower than it did if you saw it live than if you saw it on TV.
Another big thing from the Attitude Era, the thing everybody remembers, is him spearing Jeff off of that hook where the belt were.
Yeah, that was awesome. Jeff just took an awesome bump on that. Looked like he died.
I remember this was where Rhino and I think Spike Dudley got involved and Lita got involved. Something like that.
Next up was
That's right. That's Rhino was doing spots in the match and Spike was doing stuff and Rhino was there too.
Yep.
He just said that.
Oh.
Next up was the Legends Battle Royal.
The greatest match in the history of WrestleMania.
Which the Iron Sheik won only because he could not be thrown over the top rope. And when I say he couldn't physically do it.
Well, who else in this match deserved to win besides the Iron Sheik? I mean, come on, there's a bunch of jabronis in the Iron Sheik.
The jabronis of which you speak were Brother Love, the Bushwhackers, Jim Cornette, Doink, Duke Grossi, Duke the Dumpster Drosy, Earthquake the Gobbledygooker, Goon, Michael Hayes, Hillbilly Jim, Kamala, Kim Chi, One Man Gang, the Repo Man, Sergeant Slaughter, Tugboat, and Nikolai Volkoff.
This, in all honesty, this is the greatest intro, like this for the intro for a match, this is the greatest match in the history of WrestleMania because I just remember marking out and doing something stupid every time somebody came out. I was doing the Bushwhacker dance. I was screaming ho. I was trying to start a Chauncey chant when the Goon came out. I was singing along the Bad Street USA. I was slapping my belly like Kamala. I was Jack
so I remember that Akeem was supposed to be in this match, but he couldn't fit an outfit, so he had to fit in that Woman Gang outfit. So.
Yeah, he put in Woman Gang.
Awesome.
And Bobby Heenan and Gene Oakland were there as the announcers.
Yeah, it was great. Awesome.
Next up, The Undertaker pinned Triple H, 18 minutes, 17 seconds. This was pretty good.
Yeah, the tide starts to turn on the Undertaker matches around this point because this was an awesome, awesome match.
Yeah.
They did fuck up on one camera angle and showed the black mat that... he got power drill on or whatever, which kind of took away after. But I mean, it was everything else was awesome.
Yeah, I like the finish when he's mounting the ropes and, you know, giving an Undertaker, like, nailing him with some fists, and he turns it into the Last Ride powerbomb. It was a good finish.
And I think Motorhead sang
his theme song to the ring, to Triple H's
theme
song.
Yeah, they did.
And he didn't know the words, I don't think. The guy doing it, singing.
Lenny Killmeister, by the way.
How dare you talk about Lenny like that?
Well, he didn't even know the words to the song that he was singing, that he sung before.
He's probably drunk.
Probably so.
Yeah. Main event, we had Steve Austin pinning The Rock, 28 minutes and 6 seconds, no DQ match. He won the world title.
It was a phantom heel turn.
It was a phantom heel turn. He turned heel.
Not really, not in that building.
Well, that's what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Fucking idiots in Texas want to cheer the bad guys, which I know what y'all supposed to do.
No, we were cheering the guys from Texas. That was a great atmosphere, too, because it was actually about 70-30. And there were like a lot of Rock fans, but it was awesome.
Yeah, this was a good match.
Next up,
one of the best WrestleManias of all time, I'd say.
17
yeah, it was
or
pretty good. It was pretty awesome as far as like top to bottom.
There's my gimmick going off in the back. It's my mother-in-law. She's had her knee replaced and she doesn't have any friends, so she calls the house all the time wanting to talk to my wife. My wife's not home, so I'm just going to let it ring. Anyway, WrestleMania 18, March 17th, 2002, emanating from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. So that's the Sky Dome, a legit 68,237. We had Rikishi, Scotty Too Hotty, Albert. They beat Mr. Perfect, Test, and Lance Storm when Rikishi pinned Perfect.
The hip-hop. That what Albert was?
That sounds right.
Sweet tea.
Was this the match that always gets brought up on the Lance Storm shows where he got bumped off of WrestleMania?
I think that was the next year. Next year.
Yeah.
Did Lance Storm even get to be on WrestleMania? Shit.
He's on WrestleMania on this one. This is a pre-show. He's doing WrestleMania.
He didn't get the pay-per-view on it.
Well, tough shit. He should have been a better performer.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that is true. That's true. I totally agree with that statement.
Oh, gosh. And Rob Van Dam pinning William Regal to win the WWF Intercontinental title. 6 minutes, 19 seconds.
You know what would have been, how this match would have been better if, let's say, Van Dam would have fucking accidentally gave him like a really bad potato and Regal would have just beat his ass for like the rest of the match.
Or he could have made him look like a fool like he did Goldberg. One of my favorite things ever happened in wrestling, to be honest with you.
It's hard to go wrong with William Regal in the match, especially back then.
Even now, come on now.
Yeah, I prefer him acting to wrestling. He's much better.
Yeah,
as a personality.
Yeah, he is pretty awesome. At that, I remember when there was like pyro that went off and he fell off the chair on that.
Remember when Eugene shot him in the nose with the t-shirt gun on accident?
Yeah.
Remember he was doing a jig with Crank Time.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the WWF European Champion, Diamond Dallas Page, he pinned Christian 6 minutes and 8 seconds.
I remember this being a decent match.
Now, was this the stalker Diamond Dallas Page, or was this the...
This was a dude with the teeth.
That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
When he had the teeth. sparkly teeth.
He was the inspirational speaker type. This
yeah.
Time, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Okay, get this. We had the WWF Hardcore Champion, Maven. He no contested Goldust in 3 minutes and 15 seconds. But throughout the show, the Hardcore title was defended under 24/7 rules. So, during the show, Spike Dudley pinned Maven to win the title. Later on in the show, Hurricane pinned Spike to win the title. And then Molly Holly pinned Hurricane to win the title. Christian pinned Molly to win the title. And then at the end of the show, or later on in the show, Maven pinned Christian to win the title and keep it. Came in the champion, walked out the champion.
Kind of, I don't even know why they even had Maven be the champion.
Why not? He was just coming off tough enough. So, give him some
exposure. Okay. The best thing he ever did, though, was the thing with The Undertaker at the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm. He beat The Undertaker for the Hardcore title.
Wow.
Next up, we had Kurt Angle pinning Kane, 10 minutes, 54 seconds.
I'm sure it was pretty good.
I'm sure it was fine. This match, the seventh match on the show, The Undertaker pinned Ric Flair, 18 minutes, 47 seconds, in a street fight. This was a thing of beauty. I loved every second of this. Rick bled like a stuck pig. It was tremendous.
The biggest pop all night, I think, for Arn Anderson's spine buster.
That's right. Yep.
I think this was the best match on the show, I thought.
That sounds about right. Yep. I'll accept that. He had Edge pinning Booker T in 6:32.
You remember what this was over? Because Edge stole his spot in a shampoo commercial.
You don't say.
I'm serious.
I totally believe you.
Booker was awesome back then.
Booker is awesome now.
Yeah.
Steve Austin pinned Scott Hall. 9 minutes.
That's a step down for Steve Austin.
Not only did he pin Scott Hall, he pretty much got him off the wagon when he poured beer in Hall's face and got it all over his mouth when he was taking that medication that makes you sick when you drink alcohol. So he lost, got a beer bath, got sick, went back to drinking.
I doubt Steve Austin just poured the beer down Scott Hall's throat when he didn't know it was coming.
Thank God for DDP to clean up the mess Steve Austin started.
Well, Steve Austin shouldn't have been in such a shitty match at WrestleMania. This was beneath him, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was.
WWF Tag Team Champions Billy Gunn and Chuck Palumbo, they beat the Acolytes, Matt and Jeff Hardy, Bubba Ray and Devon, in an elimination match. Devon pinned Bradshaw, 3:25. Jeff pinned Bubba, 11:48. And then Billy Gunn pinned Jeff Hardy at 13:50.
It's kind of funny that Bubba was in a match where he lost a couple of faggots.
That's right. They almost got married. That's right.
Until he pissed off Glad. And Glad wanted their gravy boat back. I remember that. Was so funny. That got all pissed off.
Fuck those fucking gay organizations. Always looking to be fucking them. Fuck them.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Match number 11. This was a thing of beauty.
This is a real main event.
It really was. The Rock pinned Hulk Hogan, 16:23. The heat for this thing was off the charts.
The Rock got double-crossed by Hulk Hogan.
It was absolutely amazing. These wacky Canadians cheering for Hulk Hogan. Yeah, this was awesome.
And The Rock did get his revenge back, though, when he went to Toronto and cut that one promo. Where he's all talking about the Maple Leaf suck.
This was the classic example of sometimes you have to listen to the crowd, because if The Rock would have tried to play face during this match, it wouldn't have gone good. The Rock, there was just one point in the match where the heat was so incredible that these two just stared and looked at each other. And just soaking it up. It was just amazing.
This is funny because this is like the second WrestleMania match Hulk Hogan gets beat, just like when the Ultimate Warrior beat him, and he's the one that they cut over in the end. You know?
Yeah. That's the manipulator.
Next matchup, we have the WWF Women's Champion Jazz beating Trish Stratus and Lita in a triangle match. Jazz pinned Lita.
This is like the definition of one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
Do what?
One of these things is not like the other.
Well, one of them's black, the other two are white.
Well, see, you wouldn't bring up the black part, because I was talking about how one's butt ugly and the other two are beautiful.
The one that looks like Virgil with a wig.
By the way, I heard on the radio this last week that Virgil actually has a gimmick table set up in a subway in New York, like the subway tunnel.
I might have to try to find it.
LonelyVirgil.net.
Yeah, so he has a gimmick table set up in the tunnel of the subway, and just people passing by can get a photo or a autograph.
And has no shame.
Apparently you can talk his $20 8x10 promo down to the $5 mark and he will accept.
And some places he has Ted DiBiase and Virgil. Of course, Ted DiBiase ain't nowhere around. So.
Sure. Main event, we saw Triple H pinning Chris Jericho, 1841. Triple H won the world title.
Yep. I was fine with it. It was a good story.
Yep.
Come back from the injury.
Such a story. Didn't Jericho have to pick up Stephanie's dog shit?
Well, could have been a better worker then. I don't know.
Special guests on this one were Drowning Pool and Saliva. Those are heavy metal bands for all of you that don't know. Next up, WrestleMania 19, March 30th, 2003, in Seattle, Washington. This was at the Safeco Field that drew 54,000 and some change, and I was at this, and it was a fun, fun evening. And I'll talk about that in just a second. First up, on as we said, Lance Storm and Chief Morley, who was
Calvinus,
right?
Stone Morley.
Yeah, they beat Kane and Rob Van Dam when Storm pinned Van Dam.
I remember Lance Storm and Regal were the champions, and that's when Regal got like all that stuff in India. And,
like the kind of bacteria or some shit that like owned it. Didn't it like half his like heart die or something, or I don't know, some crazy.
I don't know what happened. I think he got like dysentery or something like that. And so he was out of action for like a year or so. So that's why Morley was taking that spot.
It was like working
that's
for
like,
Aaron
why
Bischoff,
if I
want
to go to India, that's a disgusting place to go anyway.
And they didn't make no money on that trip either. Lance got sick on that trip too.
Last place I rolled out of go. Sorry for all you Indians.
Yeah, I mean, especially there's like a lot of humidity there. I mean, there's enough humidity here. I'd never go to fucking India for that shit.
Okay. Had
I watched the Temple of Doom. I know what that goes on over there. Ain't taking my heart out of my chest and putting me in the lava. Okay.
Okay. The WWE Cruiserweight Champion Matt Hardy pinned Rey Mysterio 5 minutes, 39 seconds.
Wasn't this when he was Matt Hardy 2.0 and he had Shannon Moore as his, like, kind of like his buddy and was helping him lose weight and he was eating, like, lobster sauce or something?
Matt had his Mattitude followers and Moore had his morons. Those were his followers. I swear to God, that's what it was.
Excellent.
This is where Matt was always awesome.
Yeah.
I think Rey Mysterio, just like The Flash.
That sounds right.
Does he even do that at WrestleMania to do the superhero bullshit?
Oh, yeah. Superhero,
yeah.
Except 1 year he came out as one of the Avatar. So that doesn't really count as superhero.
I remember in SummerSlam we came out as a Silver Surfer. He looked goofy as hell.
And Undertaker, he beat Big Show and A-Train in a handicap match. He pinned A-Train. Albert, of course.
This was supposed to be Nathan Jones was supposed to be his partner, but I think they
found
out he was shitty of a worker, so they took him off the show.
That's right.
This was like a forgettable match. Even before the earlier. Who what?
Didn't Nathan Jones just go crazy and take off?
Yeah, he was like in Australia or something. He just flipped the fuck out and went home.
Yeah, Trish Stratus.
One of the more forgettable Undertaker matches. Sorry.
Definitely. No worries. Trish Stratus beat Victoria and Jazz 17 minutes and 17 seconds triple threat match to win the women's title. She pinned Victoria.
Back when the women's division was pretty damn good, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And anything with Trish Stratus is an automatic 5 stars for me.
You bet. I guess. WWE Tag Champs Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas, they beat Chris Benoit and Rhino and Eddie and Chavo. Triple threat match. Benjamin pinned, of course, Chavo.
I think back to what I said earlier, this is the last hurrah for the tag team division. This is good then. You had Shelton Benjamin and Haas, you had Benoit and Angle, and Eddie and Chavo.
Now, the last hurrah for the tag team division was when there was Edge and Ray and Benoit and Angle and the Guerreros.
Well, that's it. That's pretty much it, man.
Well,
I don't like these triple threat tag team matches. There's too much shit going on, too many people.
Yeah, unless it's like a spot fest, like a ladder match or
unless it's an elimination match,
you know,
or something like that. I like the elimination matches better.
Sure. I remember we were up working in Cloverdale, BC one time, and there was this kid. He was supposed to wrestle one of the girls and another smaller kid. I think the kid, his name was Maverick. So Tim said, Maverick, triple threat match. The girl goes over and triple threat rules. And he goes, you mean triangle match or triple threat? And he goes, just go F and do it. So Maverick goes out there and he pins the kid, the other guy. Tim loses his mind, goes and hits the ring, and he's yelling at the kid. And he said, I thought you wanted to do a triangle match. Triangle match in ECW is where it's an elimination match. You pin one guy, and then you go to the second, you go to the other one.
It's not even called a triangle match. It's a three-way dance.
Yeah. So, anyway, Tim almost lost his mind in the middle of the ring, throwing kayfabe out the window.
So, I think maybe I would, just make sure with the promoter, the rules, what exactly he wants.
Yeah.
Well,
there was no talking to Tim.
I think his common knowledge is triple threat is elimination and this other three-way is not or something like that. It's just stupid.
Yeah. Next match off, I'm pretty sure I shed a tear at one point. Shawn Michaels pinned Chris Jericho in a really, really good match.
Yep.
It was average.
Oh, gosh. Reach for the phone and choke you.
That's the show I thought.
Speaking of average, the world champion Triple H pinned Booker T 18 minutes and 47 seconds.
Didn't Triple H go all ratio on Booker T? And wasn't Booker supposed to win and he put the kibosh on it?
I think because Goldberg was fixing to come in and they were going to program with him later in the year and he thought it'd be better to put on to the title.
Didn't he say something about, like, you people or your kind?
Yep.
Oops.
And, of course, being wrestling, it automatically means you're a card-carrying member of the clan, you know, so.
Well, that's right. I mean, what does your card look like? Is it nice and shiny, or do they have any, like, special, like, pictures on it, or is it all just, like,
white? It's a white card, just blank.
Talking to me?
Yeah. You're a member of the clan.
I don't have nothing to do with all that stuff.
You hate black people.
Or you,
you
think I just... Who's more racist? You thinking I'm racist because where I'm from, or
I'm not racist because I'm in the minority, so I'm not racist.
I'm pretty sure the minorities can be racist too. Just a thought. I'm pretty sure they can.
I equally hate everybody, so I'm not racist.
Okay, yes, that's a good joke, Eddie Murphy. Let's move on to the next match.
If you think you're a minority, go to California.
He lives in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay, moving along.
It's like when you're going to New York here in a few weeks. New York, that's like the second biggest city in Puerto Rico, you know?
I know, and I hate Puerto Ricans. They suck.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, that's because they killed Brody.
Okay. Let's get the train back on the track. Hulk Hogan pinned Vince McMahon. 20 minutes and 48 seconds in a street fight.
Let the man talk. Jesus. Sorry.
Yeah, Craig, let me talk, Craig. I'm going to take a phone
call. I was talking to you.
Shut up.
I'm
going to
take a chance and start whacking Puerto Ricans over the head with it.
Are you done?
All right, go ahead, Craig.
All right. Hulk Hogan pinned Vince McMahon in a street fight. This thing went 20 minutes and 48 seconds. And it was spectacular.
It was, actually.
It was great. There was one point.
It was WrestleMania now that I look back at it.
The Vince's bloody face when he got the pipe and he was looking over the ring apron.
He looked like the Grinch who was about to steal the children's gifts.
It was like one of the best Vince faces of all time. And then Piper showed up in his raincoat. And it was like, that was weird.
This was pretty great. Yeah, lots of plunder, tons of blood. It was awesome. 10th match on the show, The Rock pinned Steve Austin 17:53. And for such a great match, great big match, Rock and Austin, you would think. But, you know, people had already seen it two other times during the years. This match was really a nothing match.
Yeah, and I think he was done at this point. I think pretty much he went to the hospital like the night before. Thought he had a heart attack.
Yes, he was checked into actually the same hospital I was checked into when I got hurt. So he was up in.
He drank
Seattle,
too many those Red Bulls or something. I don't know.
Steve Weiser's and. In the main event, we had Brock Lesnar pinning Kurt Angle. He won the WWE title and almost broke his neck in the process.
Oh, that was scary. I was at Hooters watching this.
There was so many people there that we had actually made a pact that we were going to start heading for the doors as this match started. So we're actually pretty darn close to the action because the way the thing was set up next to the ramp and the exits, we got a real good, clean eye view of Brock Lesnar trying the shooting star press, but not getting quite it over enough and landing on his face and
Nick. Who are you with on this trip?
Random geeks. I don't think I had met. I did. I knew Brian. They were. We were all over the place. The Safeco Field is so huge.
I mean, who walks out on the middle of the main event?
No. We were walking out. We didn't walk out. We were just getting closer to the exit. There was tons of people here. And I-5 and the other roads around the arena, not the best to get in and out of the city. Not to mention you had to work the next day. But anyway, we did stay for the whole thing. We were just closer to the exit from where we were, if you catch my drift. Now, here's the story I wanted to tell. The guests in the evening were Ashanti and Limp Bizkit and the Miller Lite Catfight Girls. If you go back and watch the DVD, I was talking to a good friend of mine, Mike Rogers, who writes Ring Around the Northwest and a little newsletter up in this area. I was talking to Mike Rogers, and we were standing by the railing as Limp Bizkit was setting up. If you go back and check this DVD, you'll see one Craig Proper getting caught in a mosh pit as Limp Bizkit played, I think it was either Nookie or one of the, I can't remember exactly what songs, but there I am getting bounced around in a mosh pit.
So Undertaker's thing, maybe?
Yeah, they did Rolling? Two songs, I remember.
Okay.
So it was one of those two. So I was getting bounced around and having a ball.
Oh, get out of here. Like you were being bounced around. People were being bounced off of you.
It was awesome. And
I just remember this match at the end. We'd all heard that Brock Lesnar was going to do the shooting star press, that he's done one before. So when he goes to the top rope, I know exactly what he's going for. But, he wants – go watch that – go get the WrestleMania 20 DVD and watch that Mania WrestleMania documentary that's on there. And then, they got him when he's in the back and they're trying to help him, and he's just being like this big jock and – pushing everybody around saying, fuck off me and all this stuff like that. Stuff you would think Brock Lesnar would say if he's actually hurt,
Right.
So.
Yeah. And
Kurt Angle, wasn't originally going to be in this match, remember, because his neck was so bad.
Well, here's another story from that weekend. Actually, Brock was doing an autograph signing up in Renton, which is just a few miles up the road from my place. So me and my buddy Bill went up there, and we figured, hey, we'll meet Brock Lesnar. Well, I ordered second day air these 8x, the real WWE 8x10s, and gave one to Bill. I got one, and we got up to the line and handed Brock the 8x10s, and he pushed them back. He says, I ain't signing those. And he reaches over and grabs one of the generic, Safeway ads and signs it and gives one to me and gives one to Bill. And I was so pissed because I had, second day aired these things in and blah, 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 blah. Long story short, after he signed it, I said, please be careful with Kurt Angle tomorrow. And I walked off, and you could hear him mumble under his breath, oh, my God. Anyway, so.
Sorry, it would have been better if he would have got up and started smacking you around.
Well, that would have made for a better story, but not better for my health, I'm sure. Big scary man.
Cool. Well, do you guys want to wrap it up already and finish the last ones next week?
Let's run through 20 real quick.
Okay.
We can do this. Here we go. WrestleMania 20, where it all begins, March 14th, 2004.
Again.
New York.
Where it all begins.
This was at Madison Square Gardens at drew just under 20,000. John Cena pinned the Big Show to win the WWE U.S. title.
This is when he was starting to make his comeback. Because remember, he kind of came in kind of hot, and then they cooled on him, and then they're almost about to fire him, and then he elected that little Halloween gimmick thing. And then
the freestyle rap, it's a Halloween thing, and they saw it, and then that's how he got the character.
Yeah, he was doing what's what's that white boy rapper?
Eminem.
Well, no, that's what I was going to say. Actually, I was thinking more old school.
Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice. Yeah.
Okay.
God, that was horrible. Had anybody ever liked that?
That was awesome. What are you talking about?
I'll save that for another time. We were on A1A Beachfront Avenue when we were down in Florida last year for Mania, and that's prevalent in that song. Anyway, World Tag Team Champions Rob Van Dam and Booker T, they beat Mark Jindrak and Garrison Cade, Rene Dupree, Rob Conway, and Bubba Ray and Devon Dudley. Fatal four-way match. Van Dam pinned the Conway, Rob Conway.
And then the Booker were actually a good team. I mean, nowhere near as good as Booker and Goldust, but they were okay.
Booker and Goldust was pretty fabulous.
They were.
Remember when Bob Holly beat the shit out of Rene Dupree for fucking up his rental car?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
We got a ticket or something, didn't he?
Mm. Something happened with the car, and then they had a match, and basically Rene Dupree pretty much was like trying to run away from him.
Oh yeah, he got a ticket in Bob's rental car, so Bob got it, had to pay for the ticket or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that only seems fair, I guess.
Remember they had that fucking big ass fucking dog too? They had like a giant poodle or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Rob, didn't he just fucking win? He did. He just won the NWA World Championship, and he won it here in fucking San Antonio.
Well. Maybe if it was 1986, it'd mean something.
Well, that's why I just remember right now.
Okay, we had Christian beating Chris Jericho, 14 minutes, 52 seconds.
This was a great match.
This is when Trish turned on Jericho, right? Because they had like a bet, like Jericho is trying to bank Trish, and was Christian
trying to
bank Lita?
Yeah. Something like that. It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is where Trish turned heel.
Yeah, because she heard Chris talking bad about her or whatever. That now it was just like the contest or whatever. And then she went heel. And then her and Chris just started making out. And it was even kind of disturbing for me watching it.
Ric Flair, Randy Orton, and Batista beat Mick Foley and The Rock. 17 minutes and 3 seconds. Handicap match. Orton pinned Foley.
Rock's final match for, since last year. Or
mm-hmm.
at least for Survivor Series, like a year or so ago.
Wow.
Had the Hall of Fame induction.
This was built more to build the Mick Foley, Randy Orton stuff.
Yeah.
I just remember Rock was doing the people's elbow and did like the Flair strut into the people's elbow or something like that. It was pretty cool.
So great most of the time. We then had the Hall of Fame inductions: Billy Graham, Bobby Heenan, Junkyard Dog, Don Morocco, Harley Race, Pete Rose, Tito Santana, Sergeant Slaughter, John Studd, Greg Valentine, and Jesse Ventura. Tori Wilson and Sable beat Stacy Keibler and Jackie Gaeta in 2 minutes and 33 seconds when Wilson pinned Gaeta.
And just to put over real quick, the Bobby Heenan speech was the greatest one in the Hall of Fame history.
That's true. That was.
Well, that whole DVD set's awesome.
Yeah. I wish they'd release them, like, individually and have their own matches and stuff like that. I don't have to buy the WrestleMania DVD. Yeah.
WWE Cruiserweight Champion Chavo Guerrero won a gauntlet match, and some of the names on this, just sad. Ultimo Dragon pinned Shannon Moore in a minute 18. Jamie Noble beat Dragon via submission 2 minutes 14 seconds. Noble then pinned Sho Funaki 2 minutes and 23 seconds. Noble beat Nunzio by countout at 4:21. Billy Kidman pinned Noble in 6 minutes and 6 seconds. Rey Mysterio then pinned Kidman at 7:22. Mysterio pinned Yoshihiro Tajiri 8 minutes 37 seconds. Mysterio then beat Akio.
And Jimmy Wang Yang, right?
I don't know. Okay. And then Guerrero pinned Mysterio at 10:28 to win the gauntlet match and the cruiserweight title.
I just remember that Ultimo Dragon, one of his dreams, he wanted to come and work at the Score Garden in WrestleMania. And he comes out when he's introduced and he falls on his ass on the ramp.
That's right.
And another, see, I couldn't get into the cruiserweight stuff when you had Guerrero as the champion. I just can't get into anything Chavo does.
It was awesome when you had Pepe.
Yeah, I was watching him on TNA last night, and there's just something about him. He's just missing a little something that keeps him from getting in that upper echelon. You know what I mean?
He needs to quit acting like he's Eddie Guerrero light, doing all his stuff. Do your own shit.
Yeah, well, I can't argue with that. Bill Goldberg pinned Brock Lesnar in 13:42. Steve Austin was a special guest referee.
That's one of the weirdest matches ever.
Yeah. Yeah, there was. Yeah, it was weird.
As Brock Lesnar had, he had quit, basically.
Yeah.
Didn't want to wrestle anymore. We were going to go join the NFL, which I thought was kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the geniuses in Madison Square Garden chant, you sold out. But guys just going to walk onto an NFL team. I don't know if there's any, you know. He's not leaving for millions of dollars.
No.
Especially when he hadn't played football since, like, high school. So.
Didn't leave for millions of dollars, but did come back for it.
But did end up making millions of dollars when he left, eventually.
Mm-hmm. Eventually.
Yeah,
the WWE
guys were leaving at this time.
Yes.
Both these guys
they were.
And Steve Austin, he's the referee in this match. He's just sitting there grinning, laughing at all this shit that's going on when people can't call and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then he gives Bill Goldberg stunner at the end of the match.
Yeah, he ended up the winner. The referee was the big winner by everything was said and done. WWE Tag Team Champions Rikishi.
Actually, real quick, I'm sorry. Steve Austin wasn't a big winner because he left WWE like right after this. He wanted to use the name Stone Cold or something.
Uh-huh.
Like outside of WWE, and they had a disagreement. So he left, too. Everybody left.
Yeah. And, by the way, Stone Cold was the guest on the Adam Carolla show on Monday this week. That's a really good listen as well. WWE's Tag Team Champions Rikishi and Scotty Tuhati beat Doug and Danny Basham, the Shelton Benjamin, Charlie Haas, and Farouk and Bradshaw in a Fatal 4-Way. Match was ended when Rikishi pinned Danny Doring. Or Danny Bash.
Oh, wait,
Danny,
4-ways and 3-ways on the show.
Yeah.
2 4-way tag team title matches that don't look even remotely interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
We then had Victoria pinning Molly Holly for the title versus hair match. Victoria won the championship, and Molly Holly was shaved bald in the middle of the ring.
Actually on the ramp, but...
Okay, fine.
I always like
everybody
Molly
loves the hair match, and there's nothing better than watching a woman get her head shaved. So.
It was actually the second time I've seen that. There was like... it wasn't Glow, but there was like kind of like a remake a few years back, and in one of the matches they shaved one of the chicks' head.
Oh, that was Roxy and TNA.
And Roxy, yeah, and that happened too. Roxy's got the cutest short hair, actually.
Had WWE champion Eddie Guerrero, he pinned Kurt Angle 20 minutes, 32 seconds. Great match.
It was a good match. It was a good match, and he untie his boot or something, so when Kurt went for the ankle lock, he pulled his boot out, and he got schooled, boys.
Yeah, he got a small package, and he used his feet around the ropes or something, and and pinned him. Mm-hmm. That was good stuff.
Yep. And Kurt was getting pinned with Eddie Guerrero's boot still in his hand, as I remember. Next up, we had The Undertaker. He pinned Kane, 7:45. Why do they keep putting these two against each other?
This was when he quit. He had, you know, Kane had buried him alive like in Survivor Series, and this was when he stopped mm-hmm. being the American Badass biker and came back as the Undertaker, you know, the dead guy, and Paul Bearer came out too.
And in the main event, this was a amazing match. Chris Benoit beat Triple H and Shawn Michaels in 24 minutes and 48 seconds. Triple threat match. Benoit won the world title.
It's maybe one of the best three-way I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I just remember screaming at the TV, just Tap, you son of a bitch, Tap!
Such a great, great match. Michaels gigged, Triple H gigged, and it was just, it was awesome. And, of course, he had the...
And then they had one of the greatest post-WrestleMania celebrations ever with Benoit and Eddie.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I kind of choked up, ain't gonna lie. Still kind of do. But, that's good stuff.
Your thoughts, Katrin?
What?
The match.
I said the match was probably the best three-way I've ever seen.
Oh, okay. Well,
that was great.
We got 3 minutes here, so let me drop the plug real quick. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. So check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Contrere and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook, and also check out our WrestleMania events page on Facebook, which has all the information about WrestleMania. And hey, Craig, they're messing with WrestleMania. The side to miss is the one we're actually going to have our own bus taking us to WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Thanks to yours truly. So anyway, we will be having a bus taking us from the hotel, and then it's actually pretty cool because, you know, it's like, you know, we're renting it by the hour, so we can actually, like, before I was thinking, like, because a lot of people are going to Dragon's Gate, that they'd probably only be able to ride back, but it looks like we're going to be able to pick them up, or at least send the bus to them to pick them up and take them. So that should be pretty cool. So WrestleMania is coming together. We got all kinds of plans. We got a dinner at an Italian restaurant called Barcelona on Thursday. We're having lunch before ROH at La Lucha, which is a Lucha Libre themed place. And before WrestleMania, we're meeting at this place called Red's. And should be awesome. And too bad Craig decided to miss the show this time, because, you know, he's probably going to see Pro Jam or some culture like that, but, you know, you're lost.
Yeah, it's my 20th anniversary. It's no big deal.
No, you could take your wife to the Big Apple for her anniversary. You know, what more would she want? I mean,
I think I'm going to take her to the Big Apple.
Yeah, put up a little lip thing, but, you know.
My plugs, real quick, please check out teamviggity.com, and a good friend, the Peach Machine. He's got this big boy down about 11 pounds, so props to him. And check out my Twitter page. It's at Proper Jam. You can follow me there, and I'll give you some shipping updates and tell you how the Figure Four Wrestling T-shirts are coming. Had a special contest this week. I got some leftovers from couple years ago, so if you're one of the first 25 to order, I'll randomly draw a name and send you an extra T-shirt.
I get the new one for free, though, right? Because I'm your, like, co-host and everything.
We'll talk later off air about how much you owe me. Anyway, so that's me.
Yes, sir. You got anything to plug?
Yeah, youtube.com/Katrayer. I just put up you guys remember those Battle of the Bell shows out of Florida in the 80s?
Not a bit.
Ed, you know what I'm talking about?
I'm trying to think, like, what was on them?
Like, in the Florida territory, they would do those little live specials called Battle of the Belts.
I read about them, like, in the Aftermags, but I don't think I've ever
seen
them.
Yeah, they had, like, Ric Flair defending the title against Barry Windham, and another one, they had 2 out of 3 fall match with Flair and Luger, and I think it was Luger's rookie year. But I got all three of those shows up on my YouTube page in their entirety and good quality, so anybody can go check that out. It's also got on there the Road Warriors against Stan Hansen and Harley Race. Tim Horner against White Ninja, who was the great Muta when he was just starting out. Rick Martel and Nick Bockwinkel in AWA title match. Wahoo McDaniel and Ric Flair in 2 out of 3 falls match. So, bunch of good stuff.
Cool. Well, everybody come back next week, and we will finish off. Hopefully, we'll finish it all off next week and prove Brian Alvarez wrong like the dumbass that he is. Come back next week.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the matrix shit. Let's go hook him up! I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is awesome. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.